Session 6.
Okay, we'll start. Ready? This last, we only have like half an hour. We're going to do a brief protection circle meditation. The full meditation for Lerung is different, and you have to learn that and study it. But there's a sutra one which is very powerful, and you should learn it. Okay, so we'll go through that very, very quickly right now. Okay, so get ready to meditate. Right. It's good to do this very briefly before each session. And our sessions will probably be like 3 hours broken up with rest periods in between. And, you know, to drink. I don't believe in going more than 45 minutes an hour. I think you just get distracted. And so we'll be breaking it up. But at the beginning and at the very end of each 3 hours of sessions, you should do a protection circle, okay? And we'll go through that. Also, they say in retreat or any other time, it's very important to do one as you go to bed, as you fall asleep. And then your dreams will be good. And they say your mind is very vulnerable to influences, especially around 2 or 3 o'clock or something like that. Such that you wake up like in the middle of the night and you have anxiety about something, or you start to hate somebody, and then when you wake up, they seem okay. You know what I mean? And it's your mind is being influenced by some kind of negativity or something. They say your mind is very vulnerable during certain hours of the night, especially in the middle of your sleeping period and towards the end. So it's good to do a protection circle before that. The principle of a real protection circle is bodhicitta, okay? I mean, just the active ingredient, if it were bottled, would be thinking about other people's problems, okay? And that protects you. That puts up a wall around you, and you cannot be influenced so much. In retreat, if you get into deep retreat after 2-3 weeks, you sometimes get more sensitive to spirits, like you don't believe them before that. Then you actually begin to believe them. I mean, you begin to, sometimes you can see something, or, you know, like I'm not a New Age person, I don't believe in Ouija boards and all that stuff, but there are spirits, they do bother you. If you get into deep retreat, you might become aware of them slightly, you know what I mean? And then all of these things work very nicely, okay? They don't like when people are doing stuff like this, you know? They would rather you running around New York trying to collect money that you can die with, you know? So this kind of thing, they don't appreciate this kind of stuff. So this is actually the strongest way to form a protection circle around your mind, okay? Which is with bodhicitta, with thinking about someone else, okay? So the whole argument about protectors is doubly ridiculous, because they're arguing about the concept of loving each other. You see what I mean? And protectors have no power at all until you are thinking about them with bodhicitta, or they represent bodhicitta. So to fight about them is the opposite of bodhicitta. So it's a joke. It's like, must be an inside joke or something, you know? It's like arguing about what kind of non-arguing would be best for people. You see what I mean? So anyway, the power of a protector comes from bodhicitta, how much bodhicitta you can get. And the more, anytime you have a problem in retreat mentally, like some kind of harassment of your mind by negative thoughts or spirits, do this practice, okay? This is called protection circle. Okay, so we'll start. Watch your breath. Visualize a holy being in front of you, the Jetsonkapa if you can, or one of his emanations that you feel comfortable with. Then ask that Lama to come to the top of your head and bless you. So they start rising up into the sky and getting smaller and smaller, and into the air. And then they reach the level of your head and they start moving over your head. And then they turn around so that they're facing the same way you are. And then they settle down on your head. They're sitting on a lotus. On top of the lotus is a moon. And on top of the moon is this holy being. And see them very clearly, and you can personalize them to the holy beings that you've met or come in contact with. If he looks a little bit like a Dalai Lama, or Ken Rinpoche is easy, or even some other person who's affected you deeply in your life, if their face has a little likeness to that, that's good. Then ask them for their blessing, and this liquid starts, like nectar, starts to come from their heart and flows down through their body, then comes into your head, and it's like very thick oil coming down the side of a can, and then it's just works down from the top, and it's sticking to the sides, the inside of your skin and in your body, and it's spreading down. Slowly going down through your body, and all of the negativities you have are like dirt, black dirt, and that liquid is forcing it down towards the bottom of your body. This is called Mande. And all the dirt goes out the bottom of your body, and then it starts to fill up again with this nectar. And so try to feel it slowly filling your body like a cup until it fills up to the top. And then your whole body is clean and bright, like filled with some kind of white light. And then from your heart comes a stream of white light and goes out to the outside of this house. And it like burns a circle of white around the house, like white light, a line of white light on the ground in a perfect circle around the house. And the white light stays there. And then from the white light grows a wall of white light, and it's like 12 or 15 feet high around this house in a perfect circle. Okay. Impenetrable. And then to give the wall the power, think of someone that you know specifically who's in trouble physically or mentally, depressed or sick, and think about helping them directly and indirectly. Someone very specific who needs help right now. Then ask that Lama to come down into your heart. And then dedicate them the goodness. Okay, then you can relax, okay?
Father, the stuff.
We're going to cover the tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's called, going down is called Monday.
What color is it when it goes out of light?
Tamal, when you do it, the protection, it's like a silver white. When you do the mantra practice, it'll be five colors. And then it comes up as, it's called a yande. Mande and yande. De is a rare word in Tibetan that means to drive animals before you, like sheep, you know, and they move it, you know. And it means to push all the bad things out that way, and then to push them all out that way. It means to chase after something and push it out. Okay. And yar means going out, then mar means going down.
Okay.
First you do mande, then you do yande. Okay. Yeah. Okay? All right. So see you at 2 o'clock, I think. Then from 2 to 4, we'll do a session. Then from starting at 4 to 5, your last zege. 5 to 6.
For certain people only, everybody else should rest.
5 to 6, dinner. We're moving everything up and out.
Yes, you're right. Sorry.
Yeah, 5 to 6 will be dinner. And then at 6, we'll start closing the place. And when we put up the last protection marker, then silence, okay? Silence means silence. No notes, okay? Don't, and no, you know, talking with your hands. And okay, just forget. Yeah, you have to do your book. But forget other people, okay? It's you and your mind. Just forget everybody else, okay? A lot of times when you take vows and stuff like that, they say, forget everybody else in the room, you know. Just forget everybody else is here for until next Sunday. Just forget it, okay? It's just you in your own head, okay? Okay.
Sange Shindu Mekte Lumani Rukunada Shina Chabashu Guru Rana Mandala Kamna Yadhyami Kewadi Kewoku Sanami Shetha Sokshin Sanamya Shende Chume Dhamma Kuni Tupashu.
And during retreat, you know, you'll feel tired and you'll feel sleepy, and after 2 days you'll say, you go into this kind of a low sometimes, and don't worry about it, don't trust it. It all works out, okay? So don't believe it much, you know. You'll get kind of a low energy for a while, and don't worry about it. You have to keep going, and the mantra will keep you going, okay? All right.
Chanchu Padu Dhani Khyansu Chi Dha
Okay, we're going to talk a little more about the actual meditation. There's three parts to it. First one is called Madak Tru. Say Madak Tru. Madak Tru. Madak means impurities. Tru means to wash. So Madak Tru means wash yourself of impurities. And that's what we do a full Mande and Yande. So Mande, pushing the bad things out. Then Yande, filling up with good things. Okay. This is called the Mishe Sel. Say Mishe.
Mishe.
Sel.
Sel.
Mishe Sel means to stop all your ignorance. Like, get rid of your ignorance. Okay. Mishe means not understanding. Sel means to clear it away. And then... Say ngudup. Dup. Ngudup. Dup. Ngudup dup means to achieve achievements, okay? And that's a... Traditionally, it's a seven-part practice. In your book, it just says there's seven parts, and it doesn't tell you what they are. So, Rinpoche, you know, 15 years later, taught the second part, okay? So it's not in the book. We'll do pieces of that. Okay, so the point is to, I think, strike a balance between not having the meditation go too slow, or the visualization goes too slow, where it's static and you get bored and you can't keep your mind on it because nothing's happening. And the other extreme, which is to load you up with 20 different visualizations that you, then you get overwhelmed and you know, how to say, some people had that experience in the docket, you know, whereas, you know, something that would take 15 years to learn it well, and we're not going to do it here, and it's not the point. So the point is to have a manageable visualization going on that's still powerful. So we'll do today Madak Tru. All right, we'll practice Madak Tru. And then tomorrow morning we'll do Mishe Sel. And then tomorrow afternoon we'll do Ngudu Du. And then you're on your own after that, okay? And then you have to ngudup dup, ngudup dup, siddha siddha, okay? So there you go. Okay. So get ready to meditate. We'll go through the preliminaries. Waist and legs. Breathing. Heat of the body. Sand. And keep reciting the mantra, but ask Jetsun Kapa to come up to the top of your head. Ask Jetsun Kapa to come up to the top of your head and rest there on a lotus and a moon petal, okay? About 3-4 inches high. Make it very realistic, very beautiful.
then we're going to go through the six perfections. Okay, so the first perfection is giving. And imagine near your heart anything you do which is not the perfection of giving. Okay, things that you do that are against the perfection of giving. And keep visualizing Jatsankapa. Keep reciting the mantra. And try to visualize in your heart black darkness, like soot. Things that you do that are not the perfection of giving. Things where you don't give to people the things they need or the comfort they need or teachings they need. And again, be specific. Pick a few instances where you failed to give something that you could have given. Or where your attitude is just not to give. then see nectar coming down from Tsongkhapa's body, down, leaking down into your body like very thick oil. And this nectar, if you can visualize it, has five colors. Okay, is it white, red, green, yellow, blue, and coming down into like a rainbow. Okay, and it's forcing all of the dirty things down to the bottom of your body. When you get to the bottom, visualize all of them turning into some kind of evil, like scorpions and spiders and centipedes, ugly creatures and black. And then they come out of your rear end, okay? And then you visualize a big hole opens up under you, and there's a Lord of Death there. Personally, I always visualize it as like a very cruel German Shepherd, about double size or something. Something very cruel. It's supposed to have huge jaws. They say like the Lord of Death that's holding the Wheel of Life. But some very cruel creature that's been waiting below the earth to take you on the day of your death. So they don't believe there's such a creature, but you visualize it that way. There's some very cruel, inhuman animal waiting to kill you. And they imagine that it opens up its mouth and all of these dirty things, black scorpions, spiders, creatures, fall into its mouth. And then it just sort of curls up and lays down like it's satisfied. And that has deep significance. If you practice properly, then you don't have to die. And that represents that. Then you close up the ground and you put a double dorje there under you, okay? Crossed dorjes. And that means you're going to live. You don't have to die like that. Okay, so keep doing the mantra and then push down those things. You should have at least a few pieces of black there, specific things that you did that you could have given to somebody something and you didn't do it. Okay, so you're purifying those things, getting rid of those things. Okay, and you're going to do that for the whole week. Okay, and cycle through the perfections. Okay. Through the six perfections, so that next time you do the meditation, whether it's in that session or the next session, you use your vows. And then the third time you do it, you use your anger. And then the fourth time you do it, you use your joy. And then the fifth time you do it, you use meditation. And then you keep purifying yourself of things that work against your perfections. Now imagine the nectar starts filling up your body like a cup, and it starts rising. It still has five colors, and it feels warm and beautiful and light, and changing your body to light, and it's working up your body. And little tiny traces of the black still left, and it's carrying them up on top of the nectar, and comes up to the very top of your head, and then under the lotus, it's like pouring out all the blacks. The last traces of blackness are coming out, and then imagine your whole body filled with nectar, and it feels really, really beautiful. Okay. Then with your body full, start thinking of how you've done things that are the perfection of giving in the last few weeks or years, things that you've done that are the perfection of giving, and then think about things you could do. And feel the nectar in your body, beautiful, light, and this beautiful, beautiful lama on your head. It could be male or female, could be anything, Jatsangkhapa, in the form that comes to you, okay? And then think about successes you're having with the perfection of wisdom, and think about more things you could do with the perfection of wisdom, and feel the warmth in your body and your body changing, okay, becoming more like that perfect being on your head. Didn't ask Chetan Kapha to come into your body, and it shrinks and shrinks and shrinks, smaller and smaller, until he's about the size of a pea, and drops down straight in front of your backbone, about less than half an inch, and coming straight down, very, very straight, and then down to the level of your heart, just less than half an inch in front of your backbone, and stays in a capsule there. And then dedicate the virtue by seeing the light go out of your body, out of your pores, and touch other people and help them. Okay, we'll do a short mantra. Take a 8-minute break and come back, and we'll do just a half hour. Okay. Oh, it takes time. We won't go on for a while. We won't go on for a few days. Okay. So leave it at that, and then maybe around Wednesday we'll do the next step if we get to it. Okay. So don't worry about it.
Would you pause in the mantra to get the visualization?
People ask me about pausing in the mantra. I check the text. I checked actually Pabongkor Rinpoche's commentary, and he said, if you feel like pausing, pause. Okay, so he actually states that. So you can pause if you want to get the visualization straight, and you're having trouble chewing gum and what's the other one?
Walking at the same time.
Then, but yeah, you can pause and do the visualization. Okay. Pabongkor Rinpoche specifically says that. Okay. Yeah.
Is it unkind when you have the negativities turn into cats instead
of
different animals and dropping them into
the... Oh, no. It's just a metaphor. It's just a metaphor. Yeah, don't think like that. They're not living beings. They're just pictures. Of,
yeah. Another yeah. Visualization.
It's actually six, and then you do the seventh at the end, right? The dedication goes at the end. You see? So it's a six-limb puja with a meditation and then the last limb. See? So you can keep him there and then bring him down and dedicate it, and then he's there when you walk around.
So when you start breathing again...
Yeah, it's considered inauspicious to leave him out there. Somebody asked me a good question about Maitreya and the other two disciples. You just... They go into Jetson Kapa after he arrived. Okay. So they melt
the
in.
First time.
Yeah. And Maitreya melts in and then the two disciples melt in. So when you start the main practice you only have one. I think at the time you count the after you finish asking them to stay, right? At that point, he's still sitting in front of you.
Right?
Yeah.
And the second round.
Yeah. The purpose of the second breath is to bring you back to the image. Then you build it up from the silhouette and make it, you know, I don't want to say, don't visualize a tanka, okay? All right? Visualize a person, you know? It's a very big difference. I'm afraid that a lot of Westerners visualize tankas. You know, we're talking about, you know, somebody who's Jesus and Moses and your high school girlfriend all mixed in one, you know? Enlightened, you know what I mean? Like, get that human thing there, you know? Like a perfect being who's been following you around for a while. Okay, like that, yeah.
Can you feel like someone you know?
Of course. You know? I mean, we just got through saying, I mean, if Tsongkhapa can be Padmasambhava and Atisha and Pabongka Rinpoche and Ken Rinpoche and Dalai Lama, he's been following you around for a long time. It's not out of the... It's not exaggerating, it's not New Agey to say that there's absolutely no... I'd say the odds are that they were your close friends in high school or something, you know what I mean? Or some percentage of them, okay? There's no problem with that. Every person you've ever met could have been an emanation of Tsongkhapa. But you have to get the right... You can't think of them as people. You can't think of them as humans during the visualization, okay? Yeah, but you make sure that you realize who they really were, you know? Okay. Yeah, after a day or two, you won't notice, you see? You'll just won't be looking at it anymore, and you'll say, oh, I did it, you know? Okay. Vajragini mantra is like this long, and that you have to do 100,000, and it, you know, after the first 100 or 300, you don't notice that you're not looking at the paper anymore. You know, so it's not a big thing. Yeah, 100,000 would be very typical. Yeah, I've never done a Miktsema retreat. I mean, I went straight to my Vajragini retreats, but it'd be interesting to see how many. You know, let me know how many you do each day at the end. Okay, because I'm curious how long it would take. I think it'd be fast. I don't know if you. Probably about the same time as the Vajragini, I think. I don't know. Achieving achievements or something like that. Okay. And that last one has seven divisions. And we'll see how far we get. I want to stick with this one for a while, and then we'll see in the middle if we go to number two. Okay. We'll see how it feels. Yeah.
Should this be the main mantra saying all the time?
You mean after you finish this retreat?
Yeah, during the retreat.
Oh, yeah.
Just this one.
I mean, fulfill your other commitments.
Minimum.
At a minimum, okay. Yeah. And then, but this should be the main thing.
I see.
Yeah, there's no rule that you can't say it while you're walking around and, you know, when you lay down to rest, you know, like that. Keep doing it even outside in the session. Okay. It should be like rolling around in your head after a day or two. Okay. Yeah.
Is it more or less powerful to say it in Sanskrit, Tibetan, or English?
They would say it has a great blessing. In there is no Sanskrit that I'm aware of. You know, it was written in Tibetan. So there's rules for creating mantras. Of all people, Dharmakirti wrote about it, the logician. I'm sure there will be English mantras. But let's do this one. Let's do it in Tibetan from the blessing of the lineage, okay?
If we're visualizing somebody that we know, do they have to be dressed like Jason?
No, they don't have to. They don't. He said, do they have to be dressed like Jason? Like if you had a high school teacher that you've decided was probably Jetson Kapoor, logically, then do you have to dress them with this hat and everything? And no, you don't. I mean, it's a good question. But the identity, what we call the equivalent of Ngagyal in the sadhana, the identification of them must be there. You can't think... You can use somebody like that, but absolutely don't ever think of them as a normal person. during the visualization. That would be blowing it. Okay. Don't slide back into thinking them as not as having been an emanation of Jetsankapa. But yeah, that's very strict. You can't do that. Then you really blow it. Okay. So it's a little danger to use somebody like that. But there's a big benefit, but you can't just absolutely don't think of them in the other way that you used to think of them. Okay.
When doing one of these retreats, many people are morning people, night people, whatever, they sleep longer, shorter. Is it absolutely necessary to stick to this type of schedule, or can you invent your own, which works better for your body chemistry or type or whatever?
I think in general, when you do your own retreats, you'll be forced to follow your body's clock, but tradition. You know, it's all to do with the moon, the sun, how the dakinis are moving around the world at certain times, and generally, tunshin nyanzer chule miyawar means do not vary from the pattern of the four sessions. And some scriptures say tunshin nyanzer chole miyawar, which means don't vary from that supreme four sessions. I mean, I think if you try it, normally ending one session before daybreak, ending one session before noon, ending one before sunset, and then ending one, after night. You know, and then sleeping in the middle watch of the night, which you divide the day into six parts, the middle watch is like 12 to 4. I mean, that's tradition. You go crazy after a week of that. So we kind of kept it light here, but in I think traditionally that would be the schedule. Okay. I think for Westerners, I think about 3:30 or 4 o'clock to 10 is good with naps, you know. And but I, you know, we're just going to... You shouldn't do that for about a week or 8 days into a retreat, and we just don't have time to get down there. So the schedule will be like that. It's good if you can keep this schedule in retreat. Okay, yeah.
How do you do the visualization of, like, you were doing the first perfection with the mantra, which is not necessarily about that? Per se, how do you keep both of those things?
I think, you wouldn't be thinking about the meaning of the mantra necessarily at that moment.
But you're saying it.
Yeah, you have to keep saying it. Somebody asked if you could pause, and yeah, you. Pabongkor Bhuchena's commentary says pause if you feel like it'd be more useful to pause then pause the mantra. But if you can keep it going, it's good. Okay. So it's good if you can keep it going. If it doesn't disturb your visualization. If it disturbs your visualization, I'd say even if it disturbs it, try it for a couple of days. You might find that it works. And this is coming from a person who didn't do a mantra retreat for 10 years because I didn't think it would work. And I regret it that I didn't do it. You know, it works. So I'd say kind of force it, you know. Yeah.
Is there anything written about how quickly, like, with the visualization you taught us, you're picturing the deeds not giving, and you're picturing them as black, and then you're picturing the nectar. Is there any gauge that you have used to how long you hold each image? Because I think I'm going through them much too quickly.
How long do you hold each image? I'd say this is a Dharmabhadra answer, you know. Not so long that you get bored. And not so quick that you can't concentrate on it. You know what I mean? And, you know, frankly, it was very, what do you call it? Comforting to me to find that quotation, you know, that Dharmabhadra said, look, you got to keep the thing moving or you get bored. If you're a normal person, you're going to get bored. You know, something has to be happening. And don't just stop and space out. I'm afraid that a lot of Westerners, when they do a visualization during a retreat, you know, Maitreya's there, kind of fuzzy, and then they think about their mom for a while, and they think about their dad for a while. And I don't really believe that anyone can sit there for an hour and just look at Maitreya, you know. And You know, so it's very comforting for me when I found that somebody asked Muchadala Bhadra that question in 1780 something, I don't know, and that was his answer. So yeah, keep it going. Yeah.
Can we do how to bless the rosary?
We're gonna do blessing the rosary tomorrow morning, because you're not doing mantras yet. Really, it doesn't count yet.
I'm not starting to count.
We'll start the count tomorrow morning. Okay. So we'll bless your rosary and bless the meditation seat. Yeah, I would only count when you're in session. Okay. Like it's hard to. I wouldn't count it when you're like in your room and just if you're sitting seriously in your room, okay, but otherwise not, okay. All right. Okay, take a short break. It's very simple, not too long. That was called Madaktru. So the visualization you've done so far is called cleaning your impurities. And we did it for each one of the six perfections. The next part is called Mishesa. And Mishesa, Mishe means things you don't know or don't understand yet. Sell means to make them clear or remove what you don't understand or light, make it light. And for each of the six perfections, you go through the same step again. You have to start over. You have to do a Madaktru for each perfection. So you do the, let's take the perfection of giving. You do the Mande, which means the nectar comes down and pushes out negativities. And you think about two or three specific failures of the perfection of giving that you're doing or that you've done. And then by the time they reach the bottom of your body, they become black, like spiders or scorpions or something ugly, and then they go out of your rear end. The ground opens up, Lord of Death is there, it goes into his mouth, and then he's satisfied with that. He doesn't want you anymore. And then he lays down, and then the ground covers up, and double Dorje appears there and seals it. Then the nectar keeps coming and flows up, and the last impurities or last weaknesses of the perfection of giving are floating on top of it as it comes up, and then it comes up out of your head and comes out, and then you are clean. You imagine that you're clean, and then you rejoice in some of the successes you've had about the perfection of giving, and you think it's very important to do the second part and to imagine in the last day or week or year of the good things you've done, the things you've given to other people. And you can rotate through the different kinds of giving and like that, you know, giving things, giving love, giving protection, and giving Dharma. And then you, instead of going on to the next perfection, then you do Mishesa. Mishesa means more nectar starts coming down, and it's like, fills your body. This time it's a golden color, okay? So the first time it was five colors. And this time it's a golden color, and it starts seeping through your body, and the text says that try to imagine every single drop of the nectar, a separate drop, try to visualize them as a little globe of gold, and inside the globe is a wisdom light, like a butter lamp, if you know that. That Asian classics butter lamp, okay? That's what that is. It's from the Manjushri Samgiti. Nama, which is the first tantric scripture in the whole Kangya, okay? Chanting the names of Manjushri. And it says your wisdom should be a light for the world, something like that. So you visualize a globe, and each drop is a globe, and inside each drop is a lamp, a golden lamp, and it's burning with a gold flame. Okay? And you imagine that Jetsun Kapa is giving you more knowledge of how to practice giving, and more strength and more power to practice giving, the perfection of giving. Okay? And specifically that you understand giving more. So at that point, you go through, while the light is filling your body, you try to review what you know about giving, how you understand giving, what giving means, what are the different kinds of giving. What would it be like to give without the perfection of wisdom, and what would it be like to give with the perfection of wisdom? That difference, okay? So you, while it's circulating through your body, okay, these little lamps, and you think your whole body is filling with light. And then you're gaining more knowledge from Jetsun Kapa. We call Tusam Gombe Shera Pyadusu, for those of you who know the extra verses. Tusam Gombe Shera Pyadusu means, let me study more about perfection of giving, let me think more about the perfection of giving, and let me meditate or internalize more about the perfection of giving. So you imagine that, while that you imagine that Jetsun Kapa is teaching you more. So you review what you know about giving, and then it's very important during this meditation that you are in the mode of asking for help. The whole point of this meditation we've been doing is asking for Jetsun Kapa's blessing and help. So it's very important to actually visualize a person and actually ask them for help, and they keep helping you, and this nectar's coming down, and your knowledge of how to give gets stronger and more bright, more and more light, and you ask them to help you understand more about giving, and you ask them for the strength to give the things that you're not ready to give yet, and to know the right ways to do it. Okay. So we'll be doing this cycle through the six perfections like that. This is called the Mishe Cell. And we'll do that for the next 2 days. Okay, today and tomorrow. And then the third step, which is going to do, we'll go on to that on, we'll finish on Saturday. Okay. That's all.
Sashi Bhuti Jushime Toshan Rira Vinshi Nyende Yampati Sange Shindu Mitte Uwagi Jogunanda Shimba
This is the end of session 6.